As you give, I want to go ahead and begin my message this morning. And this morning I title it, and we're in Acts chapter 14, and I want to title the message, Lessons We Learn. There's all kinds of journeys or trips or vacations or family times that we've had where we've gone out on trips. And how many have come back with stories from your trips? There's all kinds of stories. I was just kind of reminiscing briefly yesterday on some of the stories. I remember one when I was in college. It was a college trip. We were taking to Texas, and we had our van with our trailer behind it. And all of a sudden, we were coming up to an intersection, and as we applied the brakes, all of a sudden, we saw this U-Haul trailer passing us and all by itself. It was our U-Haul trailer. Went right through the intersection, jumped a curb into a 7-Eleven parking lot, but hit nothing. But somehow the chains broke and it came off the hitch, and I can't believe, I don't know how it got beside us, but there it goes. Stories like that. How about, I remember my wife while she was in college, she left her exhaust pipe, you know, and exhaust system on the road somewhere, and great things like that happen in life. As a kid, I remember us taking a trip to California. We decided to drive through the night. We left Mississippi to go to California, and we got into the mountains. And I remember being awake, and my brother was driving. He was just a young teenage driver at that point. But all of a sudden, we were going around one of the curbs, and all we remember is there was a car in the wrong lane coming around that mountain curve. And the next thing we knew, we were on the other side, did not have an accident. And it's like, God, thank you. I remember also in that trip, we went to the San Francisco Zoo. And when we came out, our car, everything in it had been robbed and taken. Then on our way home, we got in the middle of the desert and the transmission went out. I remember because my memory has that there was a rain cloud. I remember going through the rain cloud in the desert. I thought that was kind of cool. And then a transmission went out, and we were at this service place, and the rain cloud came and passed us. After 6 or 7 hours, they got the car fixed. We got back in the car on the road again, and we went through the rain cloud again. And just things like that. I remember my dad and I one time on a trip. And again, it was an accident situation where actually we went off the road, and we both remember seeing a stop sign. And but when we got out, there was absolutely no damage to the car. I believe the protection of the Lord. There's other stories. I remember when we first accepted the position to come here, and it was a Wednesday night. I loaded all the family up, 6 kids in the van, and here we come for a Wednesday night service coming from Kalamazoo. We got to just past Jackson, and the van decided it didn't want to work anymore. And here I am, you know, and what do you do with when you got 8 people in the car and you call a wrecker, and the wrecker shows up, and you say, now we got 8 people to load in here. And we did, we all piled in, and there was nothing legal about it, but we did it. How many have had those trips where your windshield wipers and your washers have quit working? Now, some of your stories could probably be greater than mine. I was just trying to reminisce. We've had events happen on our trips, but we haven't had catastrophes. But this morning, what I want to do is we look at Acts 17, or Acts 14, I'm sorry. When we look at it, there's some stories or some snapshots of a missionary journey that Paul and Barnabas are on. And we find these stories located in this chapter, and we're given the highlights of the trip, but I want to draw some practical lessons for us from these events that are written down. As I've said, I'm going to title this message simply, Lessons We Learn. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 14 and verse 1. It says this, Acts 14, verse 1. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went, as usual, into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of His grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. Heavenly Father, we ask for Your blessing upon Your word today. Lord, teach us, instruct us, help us to grow in Jesus' name. One of the very first lessons we need to learn is this lesson here, is that not everyone is going to like you. Not everyone is going to like you. This seems to like something that really doesn't need to be said because we understand it, but we all know that you can't please everybody. And everybody said, now we know that intellectually, but we still desire to be liked by everybody we meet. Because of this, we'll do all kinds of things, like we'll hide who we really are, or we'll hide what we really think, so that we can be what we think others want us to be. Did you understand that? So that we can be what we think others want us to be. Sometimes we'll adopt behaviors that we know are wrong in hopes that we can fit in or we can be loved by some group of people. And this is really the principle of peer pressure, is to change who you are to be, to fit in. Or we can even sometimes compromise or distort the truth of God's Word so it can become more popular. Believe it or not, it has really happened. Listen, the person who lives to be accepted by others is one who will never find true peace, joy, and happiness in their life because they're always trying to please somebody else. They will live their lives like chameleons. They'll have to keep changing their colors depending on their environment or depending on what they want to communicate. They'll play the game but miss out on life. In addition to those who spend their life seeking to please everyone, will never ever take a stand for Jesus. You need to clearly understand that the child of God, the believer, will not always fit in. This is a lesson you need to learn. You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, will not always fit in. Look at our text this morning. In Iconium, the disciples, they faced opposition, but they persevered. In fact, they only left the town when they discovered that there was a plot against them. But let's read on in our passage this morning at verse 8. The New Living Translation puts it this way. While they were there at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth, so he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straight at him, Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, "Stand up!" And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their local dialect, "These men are gods in human form." They decided that Barnabas was the Greek god Zeus and that Paul was Hermes, since he was the chief speaker. Now, the temple of Zeus was located just outside the town. So the priest of the temple and crowd brought bulls and wreaths of flowers to the town gates, and they prepared to offer sacrifices to the apostles. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard what was happening, they tore their clothes in dismay and ran out among the people shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are merely human beings, just like you. We have come to bring you the good news that you should turn from these worthless things and turn to the living God who made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. But even with these words, Paul and Barnabas could scarcely restrain the people from sacrificing to them. Then some Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd to their side. They stoned Paul, dragged him out of the town, thinking he was dead. In Lystra, the people there have witnessed an incredible miracle. And all of a sudden, the people began to come and wanted to bow down to the disciples. But before you knew it, there was also some opponents, some Jews that had come in and tried to change the crowd's opinion and whipped up some opposition against them. And they ended up stoning Paul and dragging him out of the city, thinking he's dead. Now listen, something you need to know is that if you stand on the truth of Scripture, some people will resent you. They will call you names. They will exclude you. At times, they may even attack you. All across our nation and all across this globe, there are Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. Some are taken from their families and put into prisons for years. Some are killed. Others face constant attacks daily. But I want you to know this morning that the true believer who is willing to follow Christ in spite of persecution because they know that the love of Christ is the greatest treasure. It's the greater treasure than anything that the world has to offer. Listen, I don't know about you this morning, but I am more concerned about the Savior's well done than the applause of men. I am more interested in hearing Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," than to stand here and have the applause of men and be lifted up. Following Christ calls for courage in our lives. When we follow Jesus, we are choosing to live in a way that goes against the flow of the world. And we shouldn't be surprised when people get angry. When people criticize us, you need to be determined to stand for Christ even when the world knocks you down, and they may. A second lesson we need to learn this morning is we need to make sure that God gets the glory. One of the fanatical reality hit shows of our time is American Idol. How many have not heard of this show? The show features vocalists, various vocalists who compete to win a contest so they can get a recording contract. The show is entertaining, but the title in itself is amazingly revealing. It points to the human tendency to exalt human beings more than the Lord. American Idol. Isn't it strange that people will stand and they'll scream and they'll squeal and they'll shout for a person on a stage, yet they'll remain unmoved in the presence of Almighty God? People will faint, they'll stutter when they encounter some famous person, but think nothing of waltzing into the presence of the King of the universe and be unaffected. People will rearrange their schedules to meet their favorite celebrities or to try to get into a game or to go to some concert somewhere. But those same people have trouble getting out of bed on a Sunday morning to come and worship the Savior of the world. Do you realize how much our nation has turned into idolaters? We worship everything else. But where's God? As we listen to the story of what happened to Paul and Barnabas in Lystra, while they were talking to the people, a man who was crippled in the crowd, we're told in that verses 8 and 9, let me read it to you again. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled at his feet. He was lame from birth. He had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. Don't you wonder what Paul saw in this man? As one who stands up here publicly week after week, I know you see a lot of things in your listeners. You see disinterest. You see distraction. You see sleepiness. You see those who are with you. And every once in a while, you even see a person who gets it. You see a light come on in their understanding. I wonder if that's what Paul saw. The man believed because he was intently listening. Not to Paul, but to Paul's message. And he was healed. When the crowd saw what had happened, they began to celebrate. I mean, if someone got healed this morning who was crippled from birth, tell me what you would do. Begin to celebrate. Well, at first, Paul and Barnabas must have been thrilled. I mean, these people are enthusiastic now. The disciples must have thought, man, we're going to have a revival. Well, as they were walking down the street, all of a sudden, they saw a parade coming. And the parade stopped, and Paul and Barnabas realized what was going on. These people were going to make sacrifice offerings to Paul and Barnabas. And the two men begin to scream, "No, no, we're just men." Now listen, you need to understand there is a danger whenever we serve the Lord. A danger that people will exalt the servant rather than the master. People will tell you that you're wonderful, even though you know you're really not all that wonderful. They'll use some flattering statements around you. "There's no one like you." Though you really know you're not all that special. You see, in our world, people will go as far, they'll bow down, they'll give gifts. You ask a sports star or a music star if people are not showering them with gifts, especially if they'll promote it. These things only stroke the ego. And if we're not careful, that ego will begin to rob God of the glory that He deserves. Never forget that that same person who applauded you today may be booing you tomorrow. The same person who says you're great on Monday will try to get you fired on Tuesday. People are unpredictable, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We must constantly remember there is only one God, and it's not us. And He is the one that deserves all the glory. Would you just lift this and say, "To God, come on, be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. So to God be the glory for the things He has done." There's only one. I know you may look up here and say, "Pastor, thank you for sharing truth." And I don't mind doing that. But I do not want you to look at me. I am only a man. But I'm telling you, there is one who meets us in this place. Every Sunday, He's there. He says, "I'm here for you. I'll go with you. I'll walk with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I can't be there with you tomorrow, but I'm telling you, God will be there with you. If you'll invite Him in the morning, God, walk with me." He will. Folks, I know our American culture, but I'm telling you, I need to let you know this morning, oh, follow me, but as I follow Christ, if I get off this word, you don't look at me. Don't worry about me. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Folks, it's about God this morning. He's the one that deserves the glory. Folks, I know the temptation of being considered great. And folks, I've had to learn the lesson. It's God who deserves the glory. Lesson number 3. When sharing your faith, you need to start where the listener is. Start where the listener is. When Paul and Barnabas, they confronted these people of Lystra about their foolish idolatry, Paul tried to teach them. And we have very little of his sermon recorded, but I want you to notice the beginning of his speech. Acts 14, verse 15. Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, He let all nations go their own way. Yet He has not left Himself without a testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Paul invites the people to know the God of creation. The powerful God who gives rain and provides for needs. It's as if Paul says, you are people who are wonderfully blessed. Would you like to know about the God who is behind these blessings? Now this is a different approach than what Paul took in Antioch. In Acts chapter 16, or Acts chapter 13. On that occasion, Paul began with Old Testament scriptures and promises and the faithfulness of God. But this time he takes a different approach with his listeners. Why? It's simple. Paul had a different audience he was speaking to. Paul talks practically to these Gentiles about where they are. The many gods that you've been worshiping and serving, the God of the rain, the God of the crops. I want you to know there is a God of the universe. Do you want to meet Him? He starts where they are. The lesson is for all of us. Whenever you share your faith with someone, begin where they are. But know your message. With a youth or someone, a young person, you might begin to talk to them about the lyrics of a song, a hit song that's going on. What do the lyrics mean to you? What are they trying to say? Start where they are. If it's someone who's had an experience of loss, or maybe you can talk to them about hope or begin to demonstrate the compassion of God to them. You might begin to open the Word of God and show a religious person that traditions, though they're not bad, I don't follow traditions, I follow Christ. You might talk to a little child about the love of God, the God who will be present with them. They're so open to that. They're so willing to receive that. Start where they are. The first key in sharing your faith with anyone is listen to the other person's heart. Know where they are. Be sensitive and wise. The core of our message will always be the same. But no matter where we begin, we are to move a person. Our goal is to move a person toward Christ. We do not help people simply by listening to them. We help them by listening to them and then move them from their point of pain or confusion to the cross of Jesus, where they'll find forgiveness and new life. And a fourth lesson we learned this morning, making true disciples is more important than getting conversions. Making true disciples is more important than getting conversions, converts. My last thought comes from the end of our text. In verse 21, it says, they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. Listen to what they did. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain faithful, true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. Paul and Barnabas understood that new believers, as well as really every believer, must be given attention and care. It's not enough to get people to say a prayer. People need to learn how to move forward in their Christian faith. They need to learn how to follow Christ. Not just be a convert to Christ, but grow as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the scripture again in verse 22. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Then he says about the hardships that we have to go through in the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas, they strengthen, encourage. Moving here and putting our kids into the new school 2.5 years ago was a little bit of an intimidating and scary thing for our kids. You know why? Because the first challenge for a new student in a new place is to find a friend. But just finding a friend will give you strength just to have their presence with you. They give you courage sometimes to try new things. They help you meet new people. They enable you to find your place. Do you know it's a scary thing to be a new believer? I've heard from people who have come in, it's difficult to walk into a church by yourself. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to sit. Or you don't know when to stand. Or you don't know when to clap. Or et cetera, et cetera. New believers, new disciples need to be taught about the Bible. They need a friend. They need someone who will step in alongside of them. They need instruction in prayer. These new disciples need people to help them understand the nature of the commitment that they've made. That's what Paul and Barnabas were willing to do. That's what we need to be willing to do. One of the best things you can do for a newcomer in the faith or to our community is to be their friend. Invite them to worship with you. Take them to a Bible study. Meet them for lunch. Talk about their relationship with God. Not only did they strengthen and encourage these disciples, but they also organized them. Paul and Barnabas appointed teachers, elders, to lead the local churches, the local body of believers. It says in every church they appointed these elders. They trained those who would carry on after they had departed. It is important that we make sure that new believers get involved in church where they can be taught and they can be fed. And that means we'll also need to keep training individuals to lead others in that walk. How many teachers are in here this morning? Raise your hand. You teach at one of our Sunday school, our Wednesday night. Raise your hand. You teach any part. You see, I need more of you teaching. This is not, I'd like to see 80, 90% of you raise your hands. And that way the others who are just coming in, we are ready to train and teach and lead them. I need to release you for God's gifts in you. You say, well, I'm not gifted in that area. You may not even know that yet. God's got a little notch on you. Remember the puzzle? You didn't even know I had that notch. But that notch fits perfectly into that puzzle and it fulfills the picture. I need you in that place. Not only did they strengthen, encourage, organize them, but they prayed for them and they fasted. You know, we often pray for a person's salvation. However, we need to realize that when a person makes a decision to surrender their life to Christ, that they have become an enemy of the devil. As soon as you make that stand, that I live for Christ, you just became an enemy of the devil. There can only be one master. You can only serve one master. When someone's a new believer, they need our prayers more than ever. We need to learn to also discipline them in the sense of learning how to fast, how to pray, so they can have spiritual insight, so they can continue to grow in Christ. A Christian life begins with a sincere step of faith when we trust Christ alone as our Savior. Jesus tells us, however, that we should count the cost of following Him. We must become disciples with our eyes open. Our text this morning reminds us of some things we need to remember. You need to know that he who stands with Christ stands against the world. We must seek to be faithful rather than popular. We have to guard against getting, and this is a southern term, too big for our britches. People naturally tend to worship the created rather than the creator. Our job is to remind them there is only one God, and by the way, I'm not him. We need to remember to take time to get to know people when sharing the gospel. We've been reminded that the Christian life is not just about becoming a believer. We are called to be and to make disciples. For that to take place, though, you need to be strengthened, encouraged. You need to learn to stand with each other. We need to find solid teachers and leaders who will covet that we need to covet prayers for ourselves and also extend our prayers for each other's. Is there someone maybe you need to strengthen or encourage today? Maybe there's a visit or a phone call you need to make. Is there someone that maybe you've got an email that you need to return or a timely letter that you need to write? I want you to think about these things and how they've encouraged you in the past when you receive something. Would you extend that same blessing to somebody else? These are not the only lessons that we need to learn as solid disciples, but this is a good start this morning. Know that everybody won't like you. Remember that God gets the glory. Start where the listener is and make disciples. This morning, I want to end the service this way. I'm going to go ahead and invite Pastor Jason to come forward. This morning, Pastor Matt, you want to come? I've welcomed new staff, and your dad's here this morning. I welcome you. And also, he's got some friends from Hastings that were part of his leadership. We welcome you this morning. But in this place, you need to know, as we had communion earlier, it's a wonderful thing, but we're here about Christ and what Christ wants to do. And this morning, what I'm about to do is wash your feet, Jason. Because I want you to know that you've come here not to serve me, but to serve the Lord. And I, as an under-shepherd of the Lord, am here to serve them and you. Because God's placed you here in His timing and His purpose and His direction. Though Northville may have never been on the map in your life before, God has put it there today. And this morning, these lessons that we've learned, Jesus illustrated for us at that Last Supper when the servant himself took off his cloak. And he knelt at those disciples' feet and he washed their feet. The lowest position in that home was to wash the feet of those who entered. And this morning, I take that position because I want to serve you, Jason. I want God to grow you under my ministry that He's given me. I want you to learn. I want you to become everything that He's ever wanted you to be. But this morning, I not only wash your feet as an illustration of what He did, I do it not just today, but I'll do it tomorrow and the next day by serving you. Whatever I can do to help you. But one of the things I want to do first is let you know not everybody's going to like you. Last week, I heard you did pretty good. And it's wonderful. when people like you, like what you said. But I know that not everybody will like you, and not everybody will always say good things. But I want you to know I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to be faithful to you, loyal to you, because I'm here to serve you. You also need to know when that happens, always give God the glory. Don't forget, He's the one that's gifted you. He's the one that's placed those things in you. And make sure, even when the applause comes from the youth or maybe from their parents, you remember that it's God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thirdly, this morning, our lesson number 3 was that, I'm trying to remember it. I've got number 4 in my head. What's number 3? Start where they are. Oh my goodness. The youth, they're youth. Whoa. And God has given you a gift somehow to reach them where they are. I don't want them to become something that I am. I don't want them to become you. I want them to become Christ. But start where they are and lead them to Christ. And Jason, finally, I want you to make disciples. I don't care about numbers, because numbers will come if we make disciples. Because it's the byproduct. Numbers is a byproduct of making disciples. And if we will go and make disciples, I don't have to worry about the numbers. Because a disciple goes and makes more disciples. This morning, I now pass the towel to you. I will continue to serve you. I'll continue to have my towel of service. But this morning I pass this towel to you to serve these people with me. And as we serve them together, I believe God will get the glory. We're mere men. That's all we are. Just human beings. But Jason, we've been given an awesome responsibility. Awesome. To be under shepherds of the great shepherd. Entrusted with truth. Don't hold back any truth. Make disciples. Serve everybody. For the greatest is the servant of all. And that's the lesson that Jesus taught us. So this morning, I welcome you. At the same time, I put you right back down the scale to say, we start here. I love you. I welcome you to the team. I appreciate God's gifts in you. God bless. So this morning, church, I want to make disciples. I want to take these lessons and make them practical for our lives. I don't want any glory. Would I like a big church? My human side goes, oh yeah, wouldn't that be nice? It's human. Does God mind a big church? No, He doesn't. But I'll tell you what happens in a big church. It's easy to get lost. You can lose the family feel. And that's why one of the things on my heart, and my board has heard part of this, my staff has heard part of this, so I carefully like to disseminate information a little at a time, but you need to know I'm getting ready in my heart. I want to plant another church in Northville. Why? Because this style will not reach all people. This church can't hold all people. And I don't know right now, we're not ready to build another building and get ready for another opportunity to just have a bigger place. Let me continue to feel this. Another thing is I want to start another service. Because I feel like there's a different time that we need to minister to people. I want to use all my time and wisely as I can, not burn myself out, but I'd love to reach more people. Folks, I want to keep planting and keep growing, but I want to do it abroad, but I want to do it right here in our own Jerusalem. I want to reach Northville. I'm glad that you're from all these other places, but God has placed us here for a reason. And I know these communities just beyond us here. I know the scripture puts it this way. They say things like this. I'm increased with goods and have need of nothing but a sad state of their soul. And folks, we've been put here as a light to the darkness. And we need to live that light. In your own communities, you need to serve. Folks, what I did here is nothing more than a mere illustration and something that Jesus did to illustrate. But I really mean it with all my heart. I'm here to serve you. If you need help to reach your community, if you need materials, you need training, whatever you need, let me know. I'll help you start a Bible study. I'll help you get a home group going. I'll help you reach people because that's what we've been called to do. I want to help you do the ministry. I want to equip you for the work of the ministry until we can all grow into the maturity of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. I love gathering with you on Sunday. This is fun. I love worshiping with you and singing. And I love all the aspects of getting together. But we've got 6 days ahead of you and ahead of me. Some of you are going to be on your own. But you're not alone. God is with you. And folks, you need to know you've been chosen by God for His purpose. So once again, I ask you as a congregation, stay on board. Stay with it. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. You know what amazes me about this story? Paul, stoned and left for dead. Thought he was dead. I want you to imagine for a moment the fetal position that Paul probably took when he was being pelted with stones and rocks. Some hitting his head and his ears and his back and his side. Hitting his feet and his legs. All because he simply said, stand up and be healed because of your faith. Just good news. One moment the people were going, yeah, it's Hermes. It's one of our gods that's come. And the next moment, they're trying to kill him. You may encounter that. But I want you like Paul. You know what the Bible says? He was there, and the brothers came around him. They lifted him up. They brought him back to the city. The next day, though, he leaves, goes to another city with scars and stripes on his body now, bruises, and what does he do? God has sent me to preach the good news to those who are bound up, to release those that are held captive, to bring sight to the blind, to cause those who are lame to be able to walk and to leap again, to preach the year of the Lord. Salvation is now. We're going to see Paul, not just this once, but you're going to see him as we walk through Acts. He's going to be beaten. 39 stripes himself. I believe 4 times. He's going to be shipwrecked. But he knew in whom he had believed. He was persuaded. Neither death nor life, none of that mattered. Christ. And I'm telling you folks, we live in a world where you're going to have to make a stand. And you're going to have to make it strong. But God will be with you. Heavenly Father, this morning, I end this simply this morning, Lord, leaving these as Paul did. I'm leaving them in your hands. Lord, they have put their faith in you this morning. And Lord, we come as a local body, though we are spread across a metropolitan city. God, we come to you and we ask you to use us. And Lord, it doesn't matter. We will make our stand. But Lord, teach us lessons to give you the glory and to learn where people are and start where they're at. And Lord, help us really learn about making disciples and not just getting somebody to pray. Help us help them to grow. And Lord, we know everybody won't like us. But Lord, we know that you love us. And I'm looking forward to your well done, good and faithful servant. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I leave you with the gospel. I send you out of this place to be missionaries to your community. You are now the ambassador of God to people. I release you in the power of the Holy Spirit. I release you in the name of Jesus Christ to go and do the work of the kingdom. Don't be ashamed. Preach it. Tell it. Live it. Amen. Amen.